there any source I should have before I start?
No. Right, I'll tell you everything you need to know.
Sweet.
I guess we'll just start like this. Hi. My name is Rabbi Berman, and I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I. Thanks for the chuckle. You'd think that Tishrei is pretty darn schizophrenic. Why is Tishrei schizophrenic? Well, you're going to tell me if we're holding in psychology with multiple personalities or something, but let's not get picky. When you start to examine what's coming up, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, right? See, you're like, okay, I got this down. What's Rosh Hashanah about? Tshuva, right? Tshuva, we got tshuva down. Right, we know. Fully shofar. Yeah?
I didn't go to the bathroom before this started.
Oh, you need a hall pass?
Can I quickly run out?
Yeah, you're
before
right.
You get really into it? You know, like 30-second pause?
Oh, you want to pause?
I just don't want to miss it. I was getting this thing. I wasn't thinking. Oh, please, please, 1 minute, 1 minute.
I think if that's impressive. You can do it in 30 seconds.
Okay. So when you first start to think about Rosh Hashanah, so we know it's Yom HaDin, it's the Day of Judgment, right? So you think that we're talking about the general category of the tshuva thing. Yeah, you with me? You got like the shofar, you know? And then you say to yourself, but how come we don't do any tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, right? Who you guys are, Rabbi Twersky? Rabbi Twersky spoke about this a little bit.
Just realized this a couple days ago.
You just realized this? Like, yeah. You open up, like, the machzor to get ready, which no one does. And, like, you're like, so most people are, like, on the spot. You're waiting for, like, the achetz to start, and, like, they just never do. And you're like, I guess I missed it. You know, but, look at this crowd. He's like, oh, you came for the
first time. I was talking about Rosh Hashanah.
Why isn't
that? This is something sad, but then like, there is no sleep. There's nothing like that. There's nothing going on.
That's right.
So that's so anticlimactic.
Right. And then you get this, right? What happens after Rosh Hashanah? What do you enter into? Rosh Hashanah is over, right? So what are we in now? What do we call that period of time?
Aser Shmei Tshuva.
Aser Shmei Tshuva, right?
Yeah.
You pour me a cup.
Come on, soda?
Okay, please. And a cup.
Oh, you want a different bottle? So that's called the Aser Shmei Tshuva, right? Mm-hmm. 10 days of Tshuva. So how many days of Tshuva are there?
Not 10.
Not 10?
No, it's not.
Wait. Jews are supposed to be good at this math stuff. What's going on?
Thank you.
So what? So what's what? Why is that? So you think, by the way, you get out of it, right?
Rosh Hashanah starts it.
Okay. So it turns out the Rosh Hashanah is the first two.
But you're not really doing tshuva, though.
But you're not doing tshuva.
That's okay. Like a Jewish loophole.
Oh, like you're doing the other days. Yeah, sure.
So the truth is, I think the rabbi's got the best of you here too. Because you know, even if you only have like 7, but you're stuck because you got at least 4 days of slichos before. You're not going to win. You're not going to win this one. But in any case, it's an interesting question. If you have... If Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be the first 2 days of the Aser Shmei Tshuva, which it has to be if they're really 10, so then what are we doing?
What about people that want the 10 days that didn't do the Slichos before Rosh Hashanah? They didn't get their 10 days.
So they're going to have to do something with Rosh Hashanah, man. They're going to...
Yeah.
What are we going to do about this? Smarter, hopefully.
Yeah.
They're already... They're ready to go.
What about the
barbershops?
Just kidding.
Don't do it.
We won't go there. Definitely won't go there.
Okay, so when we're done with that first part, so then what happens next? What's the end of the Aser Shmei Tshuva? Actually, the last day.
I'm full. I'm leaving. Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Okay, we got Yom Kippur down, right? That's tshuva. We're good with that one, right? Pretty solid. No questions. And then like Sukkot shows up, and we're like,
it's the happiest thing ever.
But we're like, dude. Did you misplace your GPS? You know? No, what time of the year are you supposed to be in? You know what I'm talking about? Sukkot is what? What do we celebrate Sukkot? Torah tells us what?
Live in a hut.
You're supposed to live in a hut. Why?
Supposed to be happy.
Be happy also.
To reenact us living in... Yeah.
Right. It says, Laman Yedu Derezeichem. So everyone will know. All generations will know what?
So I can't be too tall, because then you're not going to know.
Kibesukos Hoshabti Espinei Yisrael. That I put the Jews in Sukkot. When? When you left Egypt. So what time of year should Sukkot be?
Pesach.
Great. So Sukkot shows up right after Yom Kippur, and you say, dude, where's your GPS? You're supposed to be 6 months that way. Right?
Okay, but...
Why can't we... The better question is, why don't we just hold the signs? Tell everybody. Instead of having to put up signs in front of our buildings, in front of our houses, instead of building a sukkah. That's ridiculous.
Huh?
Because we have to remember it, to show everyone we have to remember it.
There's so many signs here. You're not going to notice it.
You look at it, that's when
there's a lot of this is already something different. But I like your question. It's a good question. Okay. Maybe we'll answer that question too.
Okay, fine.
Hold on. Why can't we're making two... I mean, the Torah's not always in chronological order or whatever. Why can't we just have it in mind? That's why we're reenacting it. We're...
Because this off's already at the other New Year, so you need to have this one.
It's not. It's not the good way.
Why not? You know, and time's relative anyway. You know? It all depends on your frame of reference. So it's the difference. I don't know, but it's a little bizarre. No? So you know what the Torah says? The Torah has, like, the, I guess, the famous answer. The Torah says, the reason it's this time of year is because of that pasuk. No, it says, Leman Yedu Doros Sukkah. So everyone will know that you lived in sukkahs. So when we live in the sukkah, it's supposed to teach everyone that, right? That's the sign. Right, it is a sign. That's the sign. Right. So let's say it's just beautiful weather outside.
Los Angeles.
And you're hanging out, right? Like, oh, you're in Los Angeles. Forecast for tomorrow, you know, 75 and sunny. So... It's a recording, right? The weatherman doesn't actually work. It makes a recording.
They work, yeah.
So, the tour says, if it would be L.A., so then no one would know that you're doing it because it's a sukkah. They think you're just hanging out in your gazebo. So, it has to be at a time when you don't want to go in it. Right? You don't want to go in it. It's starting to rain. It's not such great weather. Nah, you're in it.
I'm in New York.
Crazy dude, why are you in that sukkah? So the answer is,
I'm
because
going back to Tennessee.
It's a sukkah. Right, so that's the tourist chat. You hear the tourist chat? So, when should sukkahs really be?
Pesach.
Around Pesach time. That's what it makes sense. It says in the Torah. But, because it's not noticeable that it's a sukkah, it just looks like a gazebo hanging out in that time of year, so we push it over to this time of year, which is the very beginning of the rainy season. Yeah, you with me?
Well, we don't even have to be there for the rain.
In the sukkah?
Yeah.
But that's the idea.
Okay,
is that it's like at a time of year when people are leaving gazebos, not going into them. So it looks more noticeable that applies in Eretz Yisrael, right? If you live in Siberia, it doesn't really work so well. No one's going in. They're crazy, yeah? Okay. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's what it's supposed to be. Fine. Very good. You with me? We good? All together? Yitzi? You here? Non-biology class? No? Okay. We're good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So Sukkot doesn't belong here. So that's weird. See, we're done with Yom Kippur, and we're having a random holiday supposed to be Pesach time. But okay, what can you do? Then we get to probably the thing I think is the weirdest, or this, I don't know, the strangest to explain, and I don't even know what's going on. What is the end of Sukkot? Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot proper, and then what happens the next day?
Sukkot
Torah. Well, what's the name of the holiday actually? Shemini Atzeres. Right? Shemini Atzeres. So what do we do on Shemini Atzeres? What does the Torah say to do?
Go inside. And you're done.
Okay. Stop Sukkot. But what do we do? Okay, because no more sukkah, right? So what do you do?
I don't know.
Nothing, right? The only thing that's left is v'samach t'bichagech.
Well, then there's Simchas Torah.
Okay, we made up Simchas Torah. Where does Simchas Torah come from? D'oraisa? It says in the Torah Simchas Torah? Where do we get that from? Where did it come from?
Thank God for those rabbis.
The rabbis. It's d'rabbanan. We got to learn the Torah. We got to learn the Torah. So we finish the Torah every year. Simchas Torah, Shemini Atzeres. When would you have made Simchas Torah? Prime, if you had a choice, when you'd make Simchas Torah, when would you have put that on the calendar?
Shavuos.
Finish learning the...
Shavuos.
Yeah? That's what I would do. That's totally what I would do. Michael, agree? Totally what I would do. Yeah?
No, you're supposed to learn all night. You can't have...
Great, so if you didn't finish it, cram! And you finish it. And you got all night. So you're good to go. You know. See? Why you?
Also,
cram.
It just works out nicely that it finishes at this time. Like, why would you do it... On Shavuos, if you're not done with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got all night to finish it.
No.
Or you just move it. That Bereshit starts.
Timing apparently doesn't matter. That can be messed around with.
I think that's a little strange. First of all, what in the world is Shemini Atzeres?
Or it should start from here, Rosh Hashanah. Because,
you know, well, we start it over, right? But we don't start Rosh Hashanah, right?
We should.
Well, we don't. I agree with you.
Yeah. It's either Rosh Hashanah or Shavuos.
So... There's like this tshuva thing happening. There's like this random sukkahs thing happening, and there's Shemini Atzeres thing. We don't even know what it is happening. And then Baruch Hashem, we have some fun. We have Simchas Torah because why not, right? So are we confused?
A little bit.
These good questions, right? All good questions. Yeah. You've wondered about these things for a long time. Never. All right. Very good. So that's what we're gonna try and work out. Good. So three concrete questions. Number one, what's Rosh Hashanah supposed to be about? Is it tshuva or is it not? And if it's not, we are, our work cut out for us because it says the first 2 days of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's number one. What's Rosh Hashanah? Number two, is there a connection between Sukkos and anything else going on? Or Sukkos is just, oops, got lost?
The Bikurim.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Okay. So that has to do with like Yom Kippur? Tshuva maybe?
Avodah.
Kohen Gadol does tshuva for Klai Yisrael and Kippur. Okay, we're good. We got it.
Laman Yedu, we just said that's why it's there.
Really? Yeah, that's the Torah's answer. So in other words, it has absolutely nothing to do with Yom Kippur. You're okay with that? That's fine with me.
No,
I just want
to
know.
It has to go somewhere. It's going to have nothing to do with whatever
it's
with.
At least
with.
It's
okay. I'm good with that.
That's, I mean, that's option A. So, I don't know. So you there's guys definitely other options too. For sure so why it's there. There's no way that's the only one. Everyone
so we'll talk about that. And number three, what in the world is Shemini Atzeres? Okay? Shana, Sukkos, Shemini Atzeres, that's what we're going to work on. Are you ready? Buckle up. You see, you ready? Okay. This is like my class in the morning. I'm a little dead. You guys need more Dr. Pepper. Fill it up.
I'm just on a morning.
All right. Here you go. Okay. Okay. Here's the only thing that I really want to read to you. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. So he wants to know, first of all, what is tshuva? So when it comes to tshuva, he says what we're all used to. And there's a few components. There's charata. Yeah, you're sorry for what you did. Right? Okay, so what does Rambam say? He says, umahi ha-tshuva, sheyazov ha-choteichetto. Number one, stop doing the bad. Okay, that's number one. Stop doing bad. V'yasiru machshavto, remove it from your thoughts. V'yigmor belibo, and decide, shel yaseh, oh, you're not going to do it again. That's more challenging. Okay. And also regret the past. That is tshuva. Okay? And I have to do vidui also. You have to do confession.
Right.
Yeah, the Rambam talks about the sheretz biado. Yeah, going to the mikveh with like dead mouse in your hand.
Right.
Last week, remember? Right. Let go. Gotta let go. Then, and here's what I want you to help me with. Then the Rambam says, midarkei ha-tshuva.
He said to me.
What's midarkei ha-tshuva? What does that mean? Midarkei ha-tshuva.
From the ways of tshuva.
So is this tshuva? No. As Rambam finished with what is tshuva, right? Now he says, midarkei ha-tshuva, in sort of the things that you do that have to do with tshuva. It's a strange thing, right? It's hard to put your finger on it. Exactly what does that mean? But he says like this. What are the darkei ha-tshuva? That the person doing tshuva should be tzoik tamid lifnei Hashem, bevechi v'sachanunim. He should be davening a lot, crying out to Hashem a lot. Pleading with Hashem to forgive him, I guess. Bo said tztaka kvi kolcho. He does tztaka according to his ability. Misrachek harba mina hadavar shechata bo. And distance himself very far from whatever he did wrong. Yeah? Now, pay attention to this. You ready? Umishana shmo. And change his name. Yeah? You tell us the Mechina guys and they go, oh, right, I'm Moishi. Yeah, not Frankie. Right? Fred? Fred. So change your name. But then the Rambam clarifies himself. He says, no. You don't have to necessarily go by your Jewish name. That's not what he means. Klomer. In other words, Ani Acher, I'm a different person. Ve'eni oso isha asa osa namase. I'm not the same person that did those things. What do we call this in English? Denial, right? Denial.
Born again.
I was going to say born again.
That's more positive. Okay, I'm with you on that. It's not denial. I mean, it is denial, but that's not the point, right? It's... Okay, but let me just finish. Umishana ma'asav kulan, and change all of his ways, all of his behaviors, l'tova, to good, l'derech yeshara, into the straight path, the gola mimkomo, and exile himself from his place. You hear that one? Exile himself from his place.
What place?
Why wherever you? He is.
Yeah, I need to get out of here.
Go into exile. Yeah? Fine. That's what the Rambam says are the darkei hachuva. Yeah? Rosh Hashanah. Rav Tursky mentioned this. He presented it really. It was a really good presentation. That Rosh Hashanah really is Inauguration Day. You know what I'm talking about? Malchios. We read a whole bunch of psukim about that Hashem is king. So the shofar, in a certain way, is the trumpets. Like this is the king. We are inaugurating the king. Now, What does it mean to inaugurate the king on Rosh Hashanah? It means we're making him the king. He wasn't necessarily known as the king before, and now we are making him the king. We're inaugurating him, right? Congratulations, Mazel Tov. So is that a day when you want to do tshuva? So Tversky mentioned, imagine you have this king. Yesterday was the crown prince, today is the king. And he's having this tremendous inauguration party. And there's one fellow who the day before, like, you know, whipped him with a rotten tomato for whatever reason. And now he feels terrible, for obvious reasons. Has to do with, like, Yiras HaChey and Yiras HaOnesh, probably, right? He's going to get killed. Anyway, but the point is, he feels terrible. So in the middle of this inauguration, he comes up to the king, and he says, starts groveling, I'm so sorry. Yesterday I threw you a rotten tomato, and I'm so sorry about it, and I'm not going to do it again. And I've actually figured out some recipes for rotten tomatoes so that it won't happen in the future. And, you know, and the king's like, man, this is not the time. Okay, we'll talk tomorrow, all right? Now is the inauguration party, okay?
That's Yom Kippur.
So that's Rosh Hashanah. It's like inappropriate to have tshuva when you're inaugurating a king. Okay. That notwithstanding, I want to say something a little different. Basically, bottom line of what I want to suggest is that without even knowing it, the Yomim Tovim set us up with the Darkei HaTshuva, which are the behind the scenes that helps us to do tshuva without us even really knowing it. So, for example, what did the Rambam say you're supposed to do as Darkei HaTshuva? One of the things he mentioned was to change your name. In other words, said the Rambam, what? Like a different person. Different person, right? In other words, what happened? How come people are always making New Year's resolutions on New Year's? Why not every day?
You want a new you for the new year.
Right, in other words, it's like an artificial opportunity where something's changing. So we use that to change, right? But it's totally artificial. Something different between the day before and the day after. You with me? Same thing. But it's an artificial way to change. It's the same thing. When you change, when we decide, it's Rosh Hashanah, I'm a changed person. I'm going to change. Today I'm going to change. New person. New person. Starting today.
But you know deep down inside, no
you know deep
change.
Down, this is big time, this is deep down denial, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah says
that's not real tshuva then.
Oh, so wait a second.
You
patience.
Can be sorry and then do it again the next day.
Patience. Wait a second, okay? Rabbeinu Yonah says what you said. Rabbeinu Yonah has something called Yisod HaTshuva, the basic bottom line foundations of tshuva. And he starts off by saying what you're saying. How do you ever start to do tshuva? Because, like you said, you know, you can fall in the same traps and it's too much to change, right? Adam,
you
with me?
Once, you
hard
know,
to
like,
start.
You had a good day.
So Rabbeinu Yonah says this. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I'll tell you the trick. You have to, it's a psychological ploy. You say to yourself, today, I'm a new person. No, but that's the trick.
You can say it every day if you want to do tshuva. Like, it's not
theoretically, you could. But there has to be a day where you're going to pick. And there's no better day to pick than Rosh Hashanah. It's a new year. So the ploy is, you say to yourself, I'm a new person. Now, the advantage of this is if you're a new person, then guess what? You got nothing to do tshuva for. Because, hey, it was on every since it wasn't me. That was it, right?
That's it.
Uh-huh.
So Rosh Hashanah is the Darkei HaTshuva of I'm a changed person. New person. And it fits so well into Rosh Hashanah because it's the inauguration day. What does it mean, the inauguration day? And you know what? I say better. The Rambam says that the shofar is not a trumpet of inauguration. What does the Rambam say the shofar is, you know? It's a wake-up call. Alarm clock. How so? Uru yeshena mishinaschem. Wake up, slumberers, from your sleep. Going through life a little bit unconscious? Wake up. Wake up. So what does that mean? It's the same thing as the inauguration day. What it means to say is, today we're making Hashem a king, and we're not doing tshuva, we're not doing a lot of external activities. It's all about what's going on inside here. It's all about your heart. It's all about your focus and your direction. See, if you decide, I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of heaven, king, God's the king. So if you do that, which is something that just happens inside your heart, it's a refocusing. It's a wake-up call. Yeah, you with me? So that's what you mean. I'm a changed person. What does it mean? I'm a changed person, and now I don't know. Exercise tomorrow. That's not the point, right? The point is, you know, the Maccabees video notwithstanding. Do you guys see it yet?
No.
Yeah. No.
They had a new video.
Yeah, dude.
For Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Dude,
I may have to turn my phone back on.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll check it out. You'll check it out. And the changed person of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be this focus that Hashem is the king. It's a refocusing, yeah?
Swag.
No, I get it.
Middle?
Okay. Middle ground.
What's it called?
I don't even know. Book of Life. Miguel's in it. That's the only reason I watched it.
Nice.
Wow.
No, Maccabee.
Huh?
So that's step one. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the tshuva. It's not the tshuva. It's not a vidui. It's no achis, right?
No.
It's not that kind of tshuva. But how is it tshuva? It's tshuva because it's a total internal refocusing. That's Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? Good? Questions? You want to attack me? You want to reject me? Inbox?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I think that's
I like
a good
inauguration.
I think it's a good chat.
The best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's an inauguration, and it's something that happens in here, though. It's something that has to happen in attitude and direction.
So why do tshuva?
That is the part of tshuva. And Rabino Yonah says that's how you start it. Yeah.
So in my shul on Shabbat, in this past Shabbos in Phoenix, so the rabbi was talking about, so how you were saying, how you can't just like say something and find that I'm going to be like a complete, I'm going to be a total perfect person. So you're saying, like, comparing it to like someone who writes a Torah, because I guess that's a mitzvah that's mentioned in this parsha in the past one.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah, that's what you're
around there, right? So you're saying how like when someone writes a Torah, they have to do it very slowly, like,
I give you a recommendation. Here's the recommendation. You want to really change something for real, like some behavior?
Uh-oh.
Listen to this. No, you like it. I'm serious. Pick something that you think you want to do. Split it in half. And then split it in half again. And maybe split it in half again. I'm going to dive in a minion once a month. No, I'm serious.
Once every 2 weeks and then once a week?
No, once a month.
That's if you don't dive in at all. Like, what if we're like... Okay,
whatever I'm saying, I'm giving you...
Do it like so once a week.
So yeah.
If I go once a month.
Whatever you want to do, think of something you want to do and then split it in half and then split it in half again. Something that almost seems irrelevant, right? It almost seems so little that like, I mean, what's the point? That's the point. The point is that you'll be able to do it.
Make you feel good about yourself.
No. Yeah, it'll for sure make you feel good, and you'll keep it.
What, and every day you subtract it in half?
No, you pick what you're going to do.
Once a month.
Don't do it, and do it. And if you do more, it's fine, whatever, but that's not the point. The point is you keep to that one. You hear what I'm saying?
How long?
A year, whatever you want. You can always build on it, but it has to be a tiny commitment. Because the smaller the goal, the more the chance that you're going to do it. And if you can make something you're for sure going to do, that's something you can grab onto. Yeah? It's a good trick.
Just to choose something and just go with that and not to split it up. So you think that's just unrealistic for people, or
I think that's the big failure of the New Year's resolutions, is that it's not realistic.
Too much.
Because it is realistic. It's just that because it's such a big thing right away, you're not gonna keep it.
You're not gonna keep it. Same like the New Year's like feeling you have, and the same like every day you're not gonna have that same.
Right. So you pick something tiny, and the tiny thing you'll really be able to keep. Anyway, but that's just a good piece of advice. But for what we're speaking about, so that's Rosh Hashanah. Then you guys all agree this denial ain't just a river in Egypt. You gotta work on yourself. You gotta refocus yourself and say, but at the end of the day, I gotta work on myself. And here's what I wanna say. There's a misconception about tshuva. People think tshuva means I stop doing bad things. Now that's true. That's a component of tshuva, but that's not the point of tshuva. I mean, it is the point of tshuva, but it's not the ultimate point.
Right.
Here's what I want you to know. You ready? Tshuva is changing the past. It's changing the past. What do I mean?
Learning from the past.
No, it's changing the past.
It literally changes the past and gets rid of your hate?
Yes. It erases it from ever existing.
For real? Are you being for real about that?
I'm being for real. I'm being totally for real. Now, obviously, let me clarify, okay?
Please.
This isn't the main focus of what I'm trying to say, but I want to spell it.
You just got me. I'm really interested.
You can't change a physical reality. If a person murdered somebody, he's not coming back. But the consequence of every Avera is that it creates a certain barrier between us and Hashem. Yeah? That barrier can be changed. That's a spiritual reality that can be wiped out and erased. And it never happened. So, just quickly, there's a certain parish in the Ein Yaakov when he explains that Gemara that says if a person did a sin, it could become a mitzvah. You spoke about this, right?
Yeah.
See, he says, because there's a malach that's created for every mitzvah or avera. And you can suck out the life of that malach and plug it up with tshuva. So that malach ceases to exist, and now all you see is the malach of tshuva. So if someone says, well, where's the avera? The answer is, it's gone.
It's gone. You may text me 20 minutes ago asking where it is. Should I tell him to come now?
Sure. That's changing the past. That's tshuva. So the idea is that when we sort of say it wasn't me, and then we commit ourselves and we refocus and we do tshuva, it turns out that it really wasn't us. I mean, it was, but I don't have that sin anymore. That's the power that tshuva can really do. It can totally change the past. Yeah? Okay, now we got to move on. So what exactly is this Sukkis thing? So I told you the tour. The tour says it should have been over there, but the GPS...
Yeah, that's the tour you told us.
That was...
Hey, oh, okay, sorry.
The tour said that the 3-hour tour is Sukkis, you know? Yeah, got a little lost. So, the Vilna Gaon has a different shot. It's a secret, but you should share it with others. What does the Sukkah represent? Oh, come on. Liberals. What does the Sukkah represent? The Gemara says two things, right? Either the actual sukkahs, the physical sukkahs that we had in the desert, or what? What's the other one? You know? I don't know. The Anone Yaakovu, the clouds of glory. Hashem provided us with these miraculous clouds that surrounded us and protected us in the desert. Yeah? You heard this before? You with me? Fine. So, that's why everyone says it should be right after Pesach, because that's when this happened, right? Says the Vilna Gaon. No. Wrong clouds of glory.
What?
The other clouds of glory? Kind of. Listen to what happened. When they left Mitzrayim, Hashem gave them these clouds. They started traveling through the desert. Then when they did the Chet HaEgel, when they made the golden calf, those clouds vanished. They evaporated. They dissipated. They went away. They were evaporated.
I don't know.
Vaporized. Gone. Bye-bye. Did we get them back? Or did they stay?
No.
Gone.
Downgrade.
Says the Vilna Gaon, they came back. You know when they came back? When they built the Mishkan. When they started building the Mishkan, those clouds came back. Right? That was the opposite of the Egel. Yeah? So when the problem was caused, they lost the clouds. When they fixed the problem, they got the clouds back. When did they start building the Mishkan? Okay, so let's think about it through. Just a quick calculation, okay? What happened on Yom Kippur? First of all, when was the Chet HaEgel? Shivasar B'Tammuz, right? And then there was Tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai again a second time because he broke the Luchos by the Egel, right? You with me? And then he comes down with the second Luchos when? On Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur. Good. On Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. Yes? What did he instruct them to do when he came back with the second Luchos after they were forgiven for the golden calf? To build the Mishkan.
That's how quickly they were forgiven?
I mean, it wasn't so quick. We're talking about from Shiva Sarva Tammuz until Yom Kippur.
How long is that?
Oh, you gotta figure it out.
I'm saying that's a big sin.
See? You can do it.
Yeah. I'm not worried anymore.
That's what Rashi says, Atem Nitzavim HaYom Kuchem, right? Rashi writes that after Moshe Rabbeinu tells them all of the klolos, all the terrible things are going to happen, they're like, forget about it.
Right?
we're finished. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says to them. Hi, guys. You're all here, right? Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm not dead. So apparently you can do this. Right? Atem Nitzavim HaYom Kuchem. You're all here, standing, breathing. Right. Maybe we can pull it off. Okay, in any case. So, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, okay, guys, time to start building the Mishkan. Vikuli Truma. Let's get everything together. Let's get all the supplies. It took them 4 days to get the supplies together before they actually started work on the Mishkan. So what's 4 days after Yom Kippur take us to? Sukkis.
Wow.
On Sukkis, the Ananei HaKavod came back.
twice.
So what are the clouds of glory? What are the Ananiya Kavod that we're celebrating on Sukkot? Not just any Ananiya Kavod, but specifically the Ananiya Kavod that came back as a result of what?
Shuvah, the Mishkan.
Shuvah. Shuvah. So you see, according to the Vilna Gaon, it belongs at this time of year. Not like the Torah suggested that it is.
Sounds
got lost. The Vilna Gaon says that's exactly the clouds of glory. You got this answer? You're going to tell this to all your friends because nobody knows this crow for some reason. It's a Gevaltic answer. So that means that the Sukkah has more to Tshuvah than we might have thought it does. So does that mean it fits into our little approach over here? Does it fit into the Darkei HaTshuvah, maybe? What are some of the other Darkei HaTshuvah, the Rambam? How did we start this? Mishana Shmo. Right? He changes his name. The Rambam says, first of all, the Rambam says the Darkei HaTshuvah, the person should be crying out to Hashem. Okay, we got Slichos down. Crying out to Hashem is Slichos. Tzedakah. Then the Rambam says, Mishana Shmo, change your name. Okay, Rosh Hashanah. And then the Rambam says, what? Do you remember? Gola Mimkomo, going to Galus, going to exile.
That's the Sukkah.
That's the Sukkah. That's the Sukkah.
Sweet. We're set up. They hook us up with the schedule.
That's a good schedule. You don't even know you realize you're doing it. So listen to this. So the Rama says the Medaktikim, those who are like exacting in mitzvahs, right after Yom Kippur, they go start getting something ready for their Sukkah.
Why? During Tshuva.
Because it's right after your Tshuva.
So can you be super happy in your Sukkah? Does that like super Tshuva?
Yeah. Well,
you
so hold on.
You would think it would be opposite. Like,
right, that's what I'm saying.
So listen, we'll work it out. Hold on. Step by step.
Happy Tshuva.
Step by step. Of course it's happy Tshuva.
I sin, you know, hooray, won the lottery.
We're happy, you know? We have a confidence this is going to work.
God.
It's a whole new perspective.
What a crazy world.
But that's the halacha, right? The halacha is on Rosh Hashanah, which you do my din. Shabbos closed. Suda, like Yontif. How can you do that? You're being judged. It was the last meal. Yeah, they're canceling the last meal in New York. You heard this? Or wherever it is, they killed people. They're canceling the last meal. Because the last guy that they just killed, he ordered like 3 steaks, 5 cheeseburgers, like a pizza, and then like it was like $200 worth of food, and he said, I don't want it. It's like, forget it. I'm not wasting taxpayers' money on that. I know. Why didn't they send it to me? Whatever. Anyway, so the Sukkah, right after Yom Kippur, says the Ramah, the Medaktikim, they go and they build their Sukkah. Or at least they start work on it. Why? Think about it carefully.
They want to make it the best they possibly can.
Yeah, but you have this very delicate baby that was just created.
You have zero sins, and now you are starting to do a mitzvah right away.
Yes, that's 100% true. But there's something else that we need to consider. Let's say you don't do that. Imagine that the next day after Yom Kippur, you just went back to regular routine. What's guaranteed to happen? You hear what I'm saying, right? Routine means back to life, same as yesterday. Nothing's changed. Yom Kippur was a nice, powerful day, and now it's back to work and everything else that I had to do every other day.
You won't feel anything that you...
Forget it, right? You're finished. Everything you built is dead. Dead. You have this delicate, delicate thing after Yom Kippur. Really delicate. And if you incubate that, you fan that spark into a flame, you will have something. But if you go ahead and get back into your routine, forget it. How many guys here went to Eretz Yisrael? How many guys here feel that when they came back home, something happened? Ever feel that?
It's just a different feeling.
But why? Because you went back to the routine. Everything, you go back to the old routines and suddenly everything falls back into place like it was before. So that's the danger of routine. So what did Hashem tell us to do without us even thinking about it? I don't want you going home. You got 4 days, get to work. Because you're going to live in an alternate reality. You're going to rehab, dude. You got rehab for 7 days. Now, the rehab is an incredible thing. Because the rehab is a sukkah. And how are you supposed to go in a sukkah? You just eat in there?
You're supposed to sleep in
you're
there.
You're supposed to teshvu ke'ein taduru.
Oh, shoot.
You're supposed to live in that sukkah now like you would everything else. Why? Why?
That's the rehab. I never thought it was part of Shuvah.
That's part of Shuvah. That's the rehab.
Gotta sleep in there.
That is the rehab. Don't go back to your house. Don't go back to routine. This is the new central location. This is headquarters. You go here. This is your new home. You want to look at it as gullus? You can look at it as gullus. You want to look at it like in a certain, like a rehab, like a different sort of focus? Also true. That's what that sukkah is. And you know what the most beautiful thing is? It basically means that you can be fulfilling a mitzvah. I don't know, by sleeping.
Sleeping. That's sweet. I got a nice blow up mattress I'm about to blow up.
You could be sleeping into a mitzvah.
I'm already calling out the troops on this one.
So how awesome is that?
How do people in New York do with their apartment building?
It depends on this on the situation. Sometimes on the roof, no problem. Sometimes you have courtyards you can lock up a little bit. So
I got my driveway.
But it's doable. So that's what we got with the sukkah. The lulav, by the way, the midrashim that say we're marching around with the lulav. It's like this is a marching band. Like this is like a triumphant, successful tshuva march. So the lulav already, Chazal speak about like a certain triumphant march after tshuva. But the sukkah now we're saying also could fit into that exact model. That the sukkah itself is part of the tshuva. It's because it's lulav. You know what's something cool? The word sukkah comes up in the Torah a couple times. Not by sukkahs, but by a place or a thing. You know what I'm talking about? No. Not being clear. Sukkah comes up. When? Right after they left Mitzrayim, the Jews traveled to a place called Sukkos. Why? Because right after a Yeshua, right after something tremendous has happened, a tremendous inspiration, that needs to be incubated. There's a sukkah afterwards. There's that period of time where you have to go out to the sukkah. Yaakov, as soon as he's finished with Sarosh al Esav, the Malach of Esav, he makes sukkahs for his animals, it says. He made sukkah. He made a sukkah. Rogovich pointed out, when we daven Ma'ariv at night, so what's supposed to happen with Gal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei? What's the halacha? Is it a break between them?
What?
What happens between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei? Are they supposed to be connected?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Somech Geula Letfila. Right? That's the halacha. That's why the little question, if you say Amen, right over the chazan, right? He's not just lazy. In the morning when he says, Baruch Hashem, Gal Yisrael. It's not because he's mumbling or he's just falling asleep at the which it might be true sometimes. But that's not what's happening. He's saying that because he's preventing people from saying Amen to his bracha, because that's a shiloh, the Amen, the Gal Yisrael is a break between the bracha and Shemon Esrei.
So then why is Hashkivenu in there?
Oi. Oi. Why is Hashkivenu there?
I don't know. It seems to be
so a the
break.
Gemara gives a perfect answer, a Jewish answer. Don't worry. It's called a Geula Harichta. It's an extended Geula. An extended Geula. Right? That good rabbi answer?
No.
What does that mean? I'll tell you the real answer. What does it mean it's a Geula Arichta? Yitzi. It means it's a Geula. Hashkivenu. What do we mention in Hashkivenu? Ufros aleinu? Sukkas shlomecha. The sukkah is in Hashkivenu. You know why? Because Hashkivenu is the end of the redemption. It's the end of that salvation. Because you have to have a period of time where you incubate.
But don't say you can't talk if you can.
No, because talking is a hefsek.
No,
but this is part
talk,
of the geula.
That's
this is exactly the point. This is the sukkah that completes it. You with me? Okay. In any case, that's what sukkah is. Sukkah is that rehab time where it's necessary to incubate that delicate thing that was created. Now, here's the problem. This is a real problem. What do we do about Shemini Atzeres? Picture the scene. Guy learns Torah. He knows. He's supposed to be happy, Shemini Atzeres, that's the mitzvah. All we're left is, v'samachta b'chagecha. He gets to the Beis HaMikdash. He's all excited. He's going to be happy. Walks in, happy. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm here. And boy, am I happy. I am so happy. I am ecstatic. I am just so happy. God, you want to get coffee? You're like, what do we do now? but you hear the problem, right? You're stuck with this happiness and nothing to do.
Why?
Because there's nothing to do.
Yontif.
You eat. Go ahead.
All right, eat. Sleep.
You sleep. You eat. You make a barbecue. So.
That's wild. Yeah, that's true. It's a buzzkill.
And what's the chat with Simchas Torah? Well, because there's nothing to do. So you make Simchas Torah, right?
Oh, Lord.
No. Listen to this. Listen to this. What is Shemini Atzeres? Shemini Atzeres is the last day before
what?
The rest of your life.
Because it's New Year.
That's it. It's over. It's over. The Chagim are over. That means the day after Shemini Atzeres, rehab is over. That means the day, next day is you're out. You're thrown out on the street. You're back to life. So what would we have done? What would we have done if it was the last day of rehab? A big party? You know, instead of getting rid of all the special effects. Bye, Sukkah. Bye, Lula. Bye, Shofar. Bye. You're on your own, dude. Instead of that, we probably would have made a huge goodbye party. Bring it out. Like, three of us, man. We can blow Shofar all day long. Like, you can make something big so that, like, you know, what, you gotta do something. This is it. And Hashem takes it all away. And he says, no. That's it. You know, so the Medrash says, there's 70 cows altogether brought on Sukkot, right? 70 cows?
Sure.
And on Shemini Atzeres, there's one. Why? Because Sukkot were bringing Karbanos that correspond to the 70 nations. And Hashem says, okay, so far Sukkot has been about them. I want one day, you and me. You and me. Just the Jewish people and Hashem. The one cow. Great. So what do we do now? So here's what I think. In that situation, you're forced to say what we just said. What do I do now? What is this relationship really all about? In the rehab, we had special effects. What do I mean? The sukkah, the lulav. We had a lot of things that were surrounding you. Yeah? You with me?
Distraction.
But what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, none of that's going to be there. So what is this relationship really all about? So what's the answer? The answer is whatever the rest of the year is about. Which is what? Just the Torah. It's about mitzvah.
That's why it's Simchas Torah.
There's
no heter for getting drunk. No way. That makes no sense.
Not Purim.
I know. Now to me it makes
sense. The Simchas Torah is because that's what this relationship is all about. And you're forced to sit there and think about it. And say to yourself, what am I supposed to do? And the answer is the same thing you're supposed to do every other day. The whole, every single day, everything, we got mitzvahs surrounding us all the time. We got tzitzitam, we got tefillin, we got davening. Every time you go into the street, there are mitzvahs that are surrounding you. And I'll tell you something amazing that maybe you haven't even considered. You got to take the sukkah, and the sukkah has to go with you to the rest of the year. And you're going to tell me it's about tosif, right? Okay, good, you're not white, you guys. So, what do you mean take the sukkah with you to the rest of the year? What does that mean? In the sukkah, sleeping was a mitzvah, right? Can sleeping be a mitzvah the rest of the year?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a reason.
How so, for real?
You say that you
what
need
mitzvah?
More sleep so that you can do more mitzvahs the next day.
That's charge. Right. The Rambam tells us that is the mitzvah of Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. To know Hashem with all your ways. You can take that sukkah into every other day of the rest of your life, but it means you have to look at yourself as an Adam HaMitzuveh. You got to take what started in the beginning, Hashem is the Melech, right? That was the wake-up call, and you got to make that real. Making that real means Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, that everything I do is focused on Hashem. I go to sleep at night unconscious, it's for Hashem. It's to be healthy so I can serve Hashem. And you just did a mitzvah by being unconscious. It could be better than that.
You're not unconscious when you're sleeping.
I am. Oh, you mean you got like brain weight? Alright, come on, man. You're right. Rabbi Muna Secha, God wakes up in the morning, you know? Trusts us, you wake up in the morning. Okay, so it's a little bit like dead. You're a little unconscious. There you go. That's the last step. The last step is the Shemini Atzeres, where we go ahead and we say, this is what it's all about. Yeah? So that's why Simchas Torah, I think. Shemini Atzeres, that's what we celebrate it. And that's what we're going to bring with us. Shal Bizoche, the process of the Darkei Hatshuva, without even realizing that's what's happening. Shal Bimatzliach, Shal Bizoche B'denim, Shal Ksivach Sim Toiva. Hopefully this will add a little bit of a dimension to our mahalach of Yantif.
Me. Sure. Someone make an omelet, yeah.